Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who are fascinated by how astrology unfolds in our daily life, in the politics, and in the world around us. Now, I'm joined tonight by, I believe, Mark Woltz, hold on, and Ortley Maycomb-Long. Hi, Mark, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. On this evening.
Any sign of summer out there?
We had a few moments, and now it's overcast again. It's okay. I'm happy that it keeps raining for a little while longer, because you never can tell out here. We'll keep the fire season as far away as possible.
Yep, so we made it through the solstice.
How about you? Is it there for you?
It's good. We had the solstice. The sun
good.
Is now moving south.
I know. And today, there is both a Mars-Uranus square, so that can bring some shocking news, and Neptune stations.
Right.
I'm sorry, that's Neptune stations next week, but today Mars squares Neptune. But Neptune is slowing down two station, and that Mars square Uranus was upsetting. That's on Friday that it stations and retrogrades. That there was an article on CNN that the unquenchable thirst for groundwater has sucked so much water from subsurface reserves that it's affecting the Earth's tilt. That because we've been pumping so much water out of the Earth, it is starting to shift. I thought that was pretty kind of a shocking bit of news, Mars-Uranus, and about the Neptunian issues, and we talked about how Neptune would be we'd be seeing some things this week. It's rather shocking, but I found that the Mars Uranus energy, I had a lot of work to do today, and that Mars Uranus, if you're paying attention, it doesn't have to be accident prone or argumentative. It can really help you get things done. And Mercury has just gone into Cancer. How did you feel? Have you noticed the Mars Uranus square?
What I usually notice is an impulsive action on the part of people. And so you have to be careful, like look around you, make sure nobody's being impulsive in your direction.
Yes.
And then, you know, it is a good energy. It does, because an impulsive action is often intuitive and it's just the right thing. But it can be too much of the right thing. And too much impulse.
Yeah.
So you have
it's
to
a
watch
strong engine.
Yeah.
But Venus and
Mercury,
Mars are...
Mercury into
Go ahead.
Mercury into Cancer, that's noticeable because Mercury was in its own sign of Gemini, and now it goes into a water sign. And communications through water are often a little garbled.
Well, that's an interesting point. I've noticed that with Mercury in Cancer that our memories come through. It's very emotionally based. So if we can remember how we felt, then we can remember what happened. But that it might be a little hard to tell otherwise.
Yeah, that's really true. And a lot of times there's communication from family. Mercury in Cancer.
Yeah.
Is in charge of the family and the roots of our knowledge.
And I am heading tomorrow to see to my granddaughter's high school graduation, which is driving to Seattle. So I wanted to wait until after that Mars-Uranus conjunction to start my drive.
Yeah.
Just for safety's sake. And, but it is about communicating with the family, reconnecting. But the moon goes into Scorpio on on Wednesday, which is the day of the graduation, and Vanessa said, who thought a Moon in Scorpio graduation ceremony was a good idea? And I have to say, I agree with her on that. That it wasn't such a sensible place to go. But, you know, it's been interesting, the talk, so many layers of thoughtfulness and seriousness, which are powerful. But the Venus and Mars conjunction in Leo at the moment, and it's getting closer and closer as Venus approaches that Mars. Well, Venus is 18, Leo, Mars is at 21. That, you know, on a good day can be delightful. Friends of ours, young friends of ours from Missoula had asked me to do their wedding, and they put up a huge tent in our yard and had a big party, including karaoke to midnight. And it was such a Venus and Mars and Leo party. You know, even though the moon was in Virgo, this kind of warm-hearted generosity, which was lovely. On the other side of that, you can see when things go wrong, like the awful disaster of that Neptunian, both the submarine and the boat of immigrants where there was like 650 of them on one boat and it went down, lost all but 150 of them, I believe. Off the coast of Greece on the same time, you know, and there was very little rescue effort put out for the 500 refugees, but the five people who spent money to go down, there was a huge search. But it was very leonine. It felt very performative, everybody's search. I think I saw a lot of organizations dragging their feet to do that because they knew that it wasn't likely to come out. But I'm hoping that, you know, one of the things I've noticed about this last decade of Neptune in Pisces, some wonderful things on spiritual search. There's been great growth of psychic development for many people, good for our imagination. It brings up the question of what is real. And here we are in the age of, you know, artificial intelligence, and we see things all over the internet that are just ever so slightly off, but they are not real. And they are, you know, synthesized, you know, what would be the perfect thing? People are beginning to lose jobs to the copywriters involved when the AI is well-trained. But it's also brought up the idea of that people tend to believe that if they just believe it, then it will be true. I think of Elizabeth Holmes and Theranos, the organization where she was sure that she had the best diagnostic stuff and people could just pour more money into it and they would get this amazing diagnostic material. She's now serving her jail sentence for bamboozlement, but I think she bamboozled herself first, which is why she could convince everybody. I think
it's really true. She thought if she is sufficiently convinced that it would work, it would.
Yeah.
And she's probably mystified as to why it didn't.
Mystified why those people couldn't come up with, you know, a few more votes for him so he could win the election. You know, both of those were true.
Yeah, and this Oceangate leader was convinced that he didn't need to follow all the safety
recommendations. Who needs that? Right. And ignored all of the warning signs.
Yeah. Including that a lot of other experts questioned the technology.
Mm-hmm.
When you have one person questioning, okay, maybe you can look the other way, just keep going. But when you have several experts questioning what you're doing, you need to pause.
Absolutely.
But if you believe strongly enough, you can go past that pause.
And ignore it, yes.
Yeah, and it doesn't necessarily mean that the reality will bend in your direction.
Mm-mm. No.
And that's what we have to always remember. So Neptune a good energy for us to idealize and look for the most dreamlike outcomes, but we can't expect it to be reality.
No. And I think that that is indeed the question. You know, how do we...
One from the other.
Right. And you know, whenever I see that happening out there, I ask myself, how am I doing that in here? Is there anything in my life that I am not covering and I'm not tracking and taking care of? You know, is there something I'm talking into myself? You know, there's a difference between, you know, what's magicking is that expression, you know, that if I just believe it, it'll be true. And there's a place where we have to be able to imagine beyond gritty reality in order to make something more. But to keep our eyes open for constantly checking to see if we're on track or not. And that's what I think is the might be the difference here. You know, do we make sure we kind of both let our imagination and our spirituality run and take on those questions? It's a good question. So is there anything else you'd like to share about Mercury in Cancer or the other planets today that you'd like to talk to people about?
Well, Mercury and the Sun are very close together. In fact, they're going to conjunct this week, Saturday. So they're both doing the same thing. So you notice Mercury goes into Cancer just after the Sun did. The Sun trines Saturn on this Wednesday, and then Mercury will trine Saturn on Thursday. And then they conjunct and on Saturday, but they stay close together. They both one by one sextile Jupiter. So it's an interesting thing. We're being invited to experience our solar energy with our thoughts and our way of handling information. Whenever two planets are conjuncting like that, we always learn something different because they're working together.
You know, it seems that when Mercury is near the Sun, it's harder to think clearly. But when Mercury is conjunct the Sun, in the heart of the Sun, Kazemi, that the energy goes through that Sun, that Mercury, and allows us to communicate clearly. Would you say that's a possibility of that energy?
Yeah, it's a possibility. It's also a little bit dangerous to be Mercury conjunct the Sun because we're not objective about our thinking.
Right. No. Especially
our ego is so much wrapped up in what we're communicating. We can't step back and see it as other people would. So we end up saying, well, how could you possibly not think the way I do?
Yeah, that's a powerful part of it. And we're asking people to kind of notice that this week, right?
Because you'll notice on Saturday, the Sun conjuncts Mercury, and then Mercury sextiles Jupiter and the Sun sextiles Jupiter. So each of them, one by one, is showing us what a sextile to Jupiter is. And that's basically, it's a pleasant aspect. But Mercury says, I'll show you how I handle it. And then the Sun says, I'll show you how I handle it.
Right.
And it can be interesting to learn from the two what it was.
It sounds wonderful.
Yeah, because anytime something sextiles Jupiter, there's a sense of abundance and just kind of good luck. Like, you know, it's a lottery win.
It can give us a sense of, and especially Jupiter in Taurus, likes being in Taurus, and that, you know, it's a good week to be generous with that heart and to be generous with what we understand.
Yeah, Yeah, like
good. That. And on that note, let's take a caller. And
okay.
We've got one caller on the line. We've got room for a few more. If you have a question, raise your hand by hitting one. And coming in, area code 202-281, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Hi, Heather. Hi, Mark. It's March 5th, 1980, 1:29 a.m., Philadelphia,
and?
PA.
Philadelphia. How are you?
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Heather. I spoke with you now. Hi, Mark. So I'm calling. I spoke with Heather. I had a session with her maybe a couple months back, but basically, long story short, very much looking for, like, work and career, just wanting to look at those types of transits or see if anything significant pops up.
Mm-hmm.
And finances,
you're back,
I mean,
to your challenge,
given,
aren't
but...
you? Yeah. Did you have work for a while and then it seemed to dry up again, or what's going on with that? Because, you know, what I'm seeing that, you know, it leads me to believe that, you know, it's not easy for you this year, but there's something about this year that's helping you kind of get down to the base of the blocks and allow yourself to shift them. You know, mm-hmm. there's some good and challenging difficulties here. The good news is the progressed moon just entered Gemini in your house of work. So that can start meaning more smaller projects coming in,
mm-hmm.
and that you might want to reconnect with people who you've worked with small projects with in the past, and
mm-hmm.
that can get moving. You might be feeling a little nervous about it because that moon squares your natal Mars in the ninth house
mm-hmm.
of publishing and getting things out.
Mm-hmm.
But what I see is mm-hmm. one of the issues is your Venus rules your 10th house. Your Venus rules your house of career. And
mm-hmm.
Pluto is retrograding back to square your Venus twice between now and Christmas. It's going to hit it on the way retrograde. It's about to go retrograde back to that 28 degrees of Capricorn. Then it's going to go to 27. Then it's going to come back and hit it one more time. Now, Pluto's going to come back to Capricorn again, but when it finishes that second pass this fall, it will never square that Venus again. And
okay.
as the year goes by, your progressed sun is at 27 Aries, and your progressed sun will be coming to conjunct Venus, your natal Venus, which rules your house of career. So, you know, it looks like it's getting better, but it will bring
mm-hmm.
up those issues and to kind of notice how your work, you know, how do you do things in a way that isn't sustainable, and how can you change that to make it feel more sustainable to you? Mark, what do you see?
Yeah.
Thanks, Anna.
There is a lot going on with your Venus, and especially with Pluto. And so
yes.
you're going to be learning a lot of those lessons, and you're going to learn what is the most important part of you that deals with people, your whole relationship question, and friendship
mm.
as well. And so
mm.
you're going to, it's actually a good thing. Pluto is helping you see deeply what you bring on the deepest level into a friendship and what you expect
mm.
from it expect in a good way, what
mm.
you prepare. So
mm-hmm.
pay close attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
And natally,
what makes you say friendship, Mark? Are you looking at it in the 11th? Or, sorry to interrupt.
Well, it has to do partly with your Venus is conjunct Ceres in your natal position. And
right.
Ceres is where we get nurture and nourishment.
Mm-hmm.
And so for you, that involves friendship. It's your friendships that nourish you. So
that's cool.
You know,
that's very true, actually.
Yeah, and they're opposite to your Pluto moon, natally.
Mm-hmm.
So you have
gotcha.
A very deep Libra moon that's made even deeper by Pluto. So you really see into your own depths of emotion at the same time that you see it in your friends.
Whoa, very true. Wow.
Yeah, and
yeah.
Actually in your life so far, you've probably experienced that sometimes as a disappointment, like a
mm-hmm.
sense of betrayal by friends.
Mm-hmm.
Even when it wasn't intended.
So. Yeah, right.
So you're going to be learning about that.
Yeah.
And one way that a good positive way to learn is to help someone that's experiencing betrayal. So it doesn't have to be you that is being betrayed, but you can help someone else see the reality of what they're being betrayed about. And that uses that energy in a positive way because you bring it to someone else.
Wow,
so I think
that's really deep.
Some situations.
Yeah, I'm literally counseling, like, not literally, but my two best friends are going through very deep, intense betrayals with their partners or who they thought were going to be their partners. So literally, I'm sandwiched, like, I've been on the phone, like, it's just, like, constant. Like, my one friend is in Spain, and she just is crying all the time, so I get a call from her at 6 on the dot every morning, and then my other friend, or no, she's in Costa Rica, so I get a call from her at 6 in the morning, and then my other friend is in another part of the world, and she calls me in the evening, and they're just both so hurt, you know.
Wow.
Devastated.
Was that in the last 2 weeks?
No. Well, it's revved up in the last 2 weeks. I don't know what you see that indicates.
I think the Venus
but,
and Mars in Leo sometimes can help us deal with feelings by making it so melodramatic, but it's healing because people can express it. It doesn't get stuck in their craw. But if you're the friend they're dumping on, that can be hard on you. You know, I think it's going to be really important.
Yeah, what's interesting is I don't even know. She was literally dumping to me about being dumped on. It was, like, so ironic that I was just, like, laughing. Like, she literally comes in here, dumps all over me. And that's literally what it's been a point of, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, a contesting point in our friendship where I say literally, like, and I know she doesn't mean it, like, in a bad way at all. She's just, like...
Mm-hmm.
Lots of planets in the first house, just Mercury and Sag, you know, and our Mercury square each other, and mine is in Pisces, you know. So, like, I know she doesn't mean it, but it's just, like, you just feel really neglected in those instances. And, of course, I didn't bring it up in this instant because she was so, you know, hurt or whatever, but I'm just like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what to do when I listen to these friends.
What I'm picking up from that, you know, Venus and Mars in Leo can melodramatize us, but it can also make people a little bit more self-centered than usual. And
yeah,
there's something about her not being able to read the room anyway.
Yeah.
That has made
Never.
It so, you know, that's why we were just talking of before about how when you want something and you think that wanting it means that you've got it, right? That, you know, the people that wanted that submarine to work and it didn't, and they ignored all the contrariness. If she's devastated because a partner had lied to her or, you know, something was going on, I would ask her to look at what signals she missed. And wanted it to be other than it was. And it's not to get paranoid, but to be honest with yourself, what are you seeing? And it's like, and to stay in the present with it rather than to build a castle on air. But just saying, you know, we love each other. are we ready for a relationship? Let me see, one step at a time here.
Right.
And I think, you know, that she may be getting some tough lessons on that. Just, you know, stand next to her rather than stand in front of her when she's discharging all that pain, because she doesn't need to pour it on you. And
yeah.
You help her,
and then sometimes I just need to not be so involved.
You know,
like, yeah.
Exactly.
Sorry,
Mark, what'd you say? You're not a substitute for who she wants to say that to.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And that's what it often feels like. And it feels like I'm the receiver of that, just in life sometimes, you know. And I don't know if it's me being too sensitive, like, or like literally taking that energy on or what, but it's just like, and then you feel bad because people are like, well, you're my friend, I'm, you know, I should be able to just vent to you, you know. And you don't want to say like, get a therapist, even though I've told one of them, like, you really need to get a therapist, because like, you have to like logistically figure this out, how you guys are going to do this. But like, just in general, you know, I've always thought that was interesting too. Sorry, I think I got lost in the sauce there.
No, I think, and again, go ahead, Mark.
Oh, I was going to say, you have Neptune square to your Sun and Mercury natally, and that can make it hard for people to read, and you seem like kind of a chameleon person to them. So that can be part of the reason that people will dump stuff in your direction.
As long as you're smiling and nodding.
So it becomes a boundary issue. Neptune is always a boundary issue. So make sure you patrol your boundaries. You know, don't just leave the back fence to take care of itself.
Yeah, that's very true. Super porous. Okay, well, it sounds like, so basically, back to the job, work front, everything, Heather, you're just basically saying that I got that progressed moon in Gemini. That should hopefully help, like, you know, get things moving a bit.
So
and
what
then
do you think the problem
Pluto
is with your work?
Whew. I think there's a few things. You know, there's definitely a writer strike, and I'm in that industry. I'm a freelancer, period. I've been a freelancer for like over a decade, you know. So literally just like, I don't know, clients have dried up, you know. I don't know if it was just because of the strike or, you know, the writer's strike or whatever. It's also me just, I'm trying to figure things out, but we're not even like, I'm at the point where
I'd circle back around again and check in with people who, for short projects, and see how you can reach out and connect with them. And you might find that in the process of seeing, like, your old, the, you know, what work can you do that's more about you and less about, like, you know, that you're, it's not working for other people. It's your own source of income.
Right.
Yeah, that's good.
And I think that's what I could
do. Aries coming to your Venus. Right. We got to go now. Apparently they said it. We have less time. So this is Heather Rowan Robbins saying goodbye from Ronan, Montana. And
okay.
Mark,
thanks,
I'm not going to be here next week. So I'm hoping you and Ann, I've set it up, can take next week.
Good.
I'm going to be in Seattle. Wonderful.
Very good. Okay, thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening, everyone else. And we'll catch you next week.
Yay. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye, Heather.
Goodbye.